Well, good morning. Today we're going to be closing off chapter 5 of John's Gospel, and we've entitled the sermon today, Searching the Scriptures Rightly. And what we see in this particular passage, or what you will see, is that the Lord talks to the Jews about the fact that they search the Scriptures, but they don't see that they actually testify concerning Him. And so there is a right way and a wrong way of searching the Scriptures. And it has to do with the attitude that we bring to them when we begin to engage with them. And that attitude can be one of coming with our own ideas to the Scriptures and using them to confirm our own view of things. Or the other side of that is that we can come to the Scriptures acknowledging that they are the Lord and that they are there to instruct and teach us, so that we need to put our own ideas aside and look to them to be instructed by the Lord. And these are the two different ways or approaches that can be made to the Scriptures. One is from what is of the natural man, and the other is a spiritual approach which looks to deal with the things in our life that need dealing with if the Lord is to be more fully present with us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Your word tells us that You stand at the door and knock. Lord, You are continually seeking to gain access to our lives, to bring our will and understanding into the image and likeness of heaven. You seek only our good, for You are goodness itself, and there is no other name in heaven and earth by which salvation can be secured. You ask that we follow You in accordance with our understanding of Your truth, that we might become a more loving people. Lord, this requires us to lay down our selfishness in an act of humility, acknowledging that our ideas only seek to promote our life over that of others. If we are to find our life, Your word declares we must be prepared to lose it. Lord, help us to see that any desire that seeks to raise us above others stands in opposition to the way You have set for us. May we walk humbly before You, Lord, only seeking the spiritual well-being of others, and thus becoming servants, conveying Your love and Your wisdom. Amen. So our reading this morning from the Gospel of John is chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 38 to 47. But you do not have His word abiding in you, because whom He sent, him you do not believe. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of Me. But you are not willing to come to Me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in My Father's name, and you do not receive Me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe Me, for he wrote about Me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe My words? Our first reading from the Heavenly Doctrines this morning is from the work Heaven and Hell, paragraph 15. In heaven there are two distinct loves, love to the Lord and love towards the neighbour. In the inmost or third heaven, love to the Lord. In the second or middle heaven, love towards the neighbour. They both go forth from the Lord, and they both make heaven. How these two loves are distinct and how they are conjoined is seen in heaven in clear light, but in the world only obscurely. In heaven, loving the Lord does not mean loving him in respect to his person, but it means loving the good that is from him. And to love good is to will and do good from love. And to love the neighbour does not mean loving a companion in respect to his person, but loving the truth that is from the Word. And to love truth is to will and do it. This makes clear that these two loves are distinct as good and truth are distinct, and that they are conjoined as good is conjoined with truth. But this can scarcely be comprehended by men unless it is known what love is, what good is, and what the neighbour is. In a reading from the Apocalypse Explained, 8:15. To believe in the Lord signifies not only to adore and worship him, but also to live from him. And one lives from him when he lives according to the word which is from him. Therefore, to believe in him is to believe that he regenerates man and gives eternal life to those who are regenerated by him. So we come to these words in the Gospel, final words from John chapter 5, where the Lord is challenging the Jews. Now, if we read these words from the Gospel and see them as referring to others, then we won't be able to get a lot out of them. But if we come to them from the perspective that all things contained in the Word are given for the sake of our salvation, then we can begin to search the Scriptures in the right way. As mentioned in the introduction, there are two ways we can approach the Scriptures. One is through natural reasoning and our own ideas, and the other way is to approach them from the Lord. And each will produce very different results. If we approach them from our natural reasoning, we will work from the appearances of the letter with a view to confirming in them self-derived beliefs that promote the love of self and the world, and we will clothe these in the external of religion in order to give them some form of credibility. So in this way, the natural man, he takes the Scriptures and makes them subject to his authority and judgment, to natural loves working within the lower part of our being. On the other hand, we approach the Scriptures from the Lord, then we approach them from what he testifies concerning them, or what they testify concerning themselves. That they are the divine truth, within which is the divine love. And they speak of that love in terms of how it appears in our experience of it. If we approach this way, then we are empowered by the Word to have our natural self subjected, brought into subjection to the authority of the Word. You see, the Word seeks to lead us out of the hell of our selfishness. And in order to achieve this, he has to instruct us as to who the Lord is, that we do indeed live forever, and that there is a heaven and a hell. The Word is the means by which these important concepts are implanted in people's minds. At first they fall into the mind and develop into an external natural view of spiritual things. This is their foundation. The Lord is seen as existing somewhere up in a heaven, outside of us. And both heaven and hell are regarded as places people go to after they die. The word is read in natural terms and seems to confirm this view on every page. We read of those who follow the Lord and are bound for heaven. And we read of those like the Jews being spoken of in our reading for today. Those who oppose the Lord and are bound for hell. And people are seen in one camp or the other as being either good or evil. But this is a natural understanding of spiritual things built on the appearances of the letter of the word. The letter's use is to give us some basic foundational concepts so that we can move to a spiritual understanding which takes a very different view of the word. A spiritual understanding of these things only begins to develop when we begin to see that the word doesn't speak of others out there in the world, but it speaks of the world within our own minds, our psychological and spiritual world. Slowly we come to see that the Lord is not off in some externalized heaven somewhere, but is in fact the word itself, and that heaven and hell are within us. Heaven is in those things of the word we have had worked into our life through obedience to the commandments. And hell is the love of self and the world that makes up our proprium. That the people in the word that follow the Lord are those aspects within us that are willing to obey the word. And that those who oppose the Lord are those things within belonging to the proprium. So when the word says things to the Jews, as in our reading today, we have an opportunity to be instructed about the proprium and its attitude towards the divine truth. It says of it, "You are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I have known you, and you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in the name of the Father, and you do not receive me. You receive another who comes in his own name. You seek the glory of another, but not the glory of God." These statements are teaching, given to instruct us concerning what stands in the way of the Lord being more fully present in our lives. And it is given so that we might see the nature of what we are too often identified with. And they're given in the hope that we might take the initiative that the Lord has given us and look to Him for a new life. It's not about the Jews in history. It's about the states of life the proprium has bound us up in. To search the scriptures in the right way is to look to the Lord to have them reveal what is required of us. In other words, our search needs to be made with an aim to respond to what is revealed concerning ourselves. For this to happen when we come to the scriptures, we need to have firmly in our mind that we are coming to the Lord. The Word is our teacher, and we are its disciples if we are looking to be instructed from it so that we can live our life in obedience to it. We need to learn to put our own agendas aside and with humility sit at the feet of the Word so that we might be led by it into the path of life. This is done by being conscious or spiritually awake when reading it, and allowing it to instruct us concerning those things within us. And so it is helpful to read slowly and prayerfully, so that we remind ourselves constantly in the reading that it is addressing the states of our own life. At the centre of the new church is the worship of the Lord God, Jesus Christ. But we need to ask ourselves, what do we understand by this name? It's important because what we connect with this name will have a major bearing on how we understand or what we understand by worship and how we live our lives in response. Most people's thought on hearing this name centers on a mental image of a person in history and goes no further. But the doctrines for spiritual Christianity teach us that the words Lord and Jesus mean divine love, and that the words God and Christ mean divine truth, and that by presenting them together in a single statement speaks to the marriage or the oneness of the divine love and the divine wisdom. We also learn from the heavenly doctrines that the word itself is the marriage of divine love and divine wisdom. And further to this, we learn that a human being is not a human being by virtue of them having a material human shape. That the material body people find themselves in actually contains the human being who is made up of loves, affections, and the thoughts that come from those. The material human form is how the spirit, that is, how our thoughts and affections are represented on the material plane to the physical senses. Now the same thing applies to the word. Its letter is the means by which the Lord presents himself to our physical senses, and so in this sense serves as his bodily representation on the material plane of creation. The letter is made up of natural ideas taken from the material world. It uses ideas of people, of events set within a historical framework. It talks of things, of rocks, of trees and mountains, of rivers and seas. It speaks of journeys and geographical boundaries, of wars, of times of famine, of times of peace. It is filled with objects from the natural world and implements and structures that have been built by human hands. We see there the rise and fall of nations and kingdoms. The letter speaks of evils committed, of sin and death, speaks of courage and compassion and mercy and love and life. The letter of the word has a very ordinary human look and feel to it, and on its surface appears to contain many of the same flaws we find in our own human nature. It appears on the surface to be born of this world, even as the historical Jesus, who represented the Word on the lowest plane of life. By all external appearances, he seemed to be an ordinary human being, no different to you or me. In being born into the world, the divine clothed itself in human imperfections to represent the Word itself, to teach us concerning the nature of the Word, and to direct our thought little by little beyond its literal sense and into the glory that lies within. The factors around the Lord's birth and life in the world, these point us to a higher spiritual reality. They point us representatively to his birth within finite human minds as the divine truth, where he is clothed time and time again with our own imperfect, very human, finite understanding of the Word. Now we are instructed that the Word presents itself in this way, in an imperfect form on its surface, so that we don't get caught up in judging it from natural human reason. This is why the teachings for spiritual Christianity found in the heavenly doctrines for the new church are so important. For they enable us to put our own tendency to judge the Word from natural appearances on hold, while allowing what is deeper to come from within it. The inner sense of the Word speaks of those things concerning living a spiritual life. And when we put our own natural ideas and reasoning on hold, so those things get a chance to shine through the letter. The letter is for the natural man, and it serves him by providing him with a basis for a natural religion. The natural man or understanding can't see beyond the letter, but the spiritual man or understanding can. But to see from the spiritual man, we need to be instructed in doctrines that can serve as the ground from which we can be born from above. Spiritual doctrine is given that we might have access to knowledge about the Word and what it is to live from it. As we put this knowledge into practice, we come into an understanding of its application to the life of our thoughts and affections, which in turn opens the way for the wisdom of love to be born within us. Now, of the natural man, or of the proprium, the Word says this: you do not have the Word abiding in you. For the one whom that one sent, this one, or the Father, you do not believe. Do not believe the Word. The Word is from the Father. The proprium does not believe it. To be saved from our selfishness, we need to have the Word abiding in us. And it can only abide in us if we believe what the Word or Moses testifies concerning itself. And it testifies that God is the Word. If we believe this, then we will approach the Word as our God, with humility, in readiness to respond to what it brings up for us in our life. As we respond, so the Word comes to be in us, and we come to be in the Word. Now the Jews, who represent what is opposed to the Word within us, that is the love of self, or our proprium, it can't receive the Word because there is nothing within it that desires what is of heaven. Thankfully, there is more to us than just our proprium. The things of the Word are able to provide a higher sense of ourselves, through which we can be separated from what is lower. The Word, when it passes into our minds, is able to awaken a deeper sense of ourselves founded on the remains of what is good and true, that the Lord has carefully planted within us over the course of our lives. These form a remnant from which a spiritual awareness can come, and once awakened, open us up to the possibility of having our sense of self removed from what is of the loves of self in the world and joined to those loves that are of a heavenly quality. Our awakening to what is higher, though, can only occur as we affirm truths that we are brought into contact with through living from them. Now, we have said many times before that having the word in and of itself doesn't make us spiritual. What makes us person spiritual is living from it. The natural man can appear to be religious, but it is a religion based on the loves of self and the world. In other words, when the natural man is involved in religious things, self-interest is foremost in its motivations. Hence we see the Lord confronting this tendency. He confronts the Jews. That is, he confronts our proprium, saying, "You search the scriptures, for you think in them you have eternal life. They are the ones witnessing concerning me, and you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." Searching the scriptures without seeing the Lord within them is wasted effort. There is an important truth revealed here, and it is this: the Lord and the Word are one. This is what he is saying here. The natural man looks to separate the Lord and the Word. He holds a mental image of the Lord as one thing and sees the Word as something else. The message of the Gospel of John is one that seeks to bring us to the truth that the Word is God. By separating the two, the natural man can conveniently hold on to an image of the Lord that it creates for itself in support of his own agenda, and from this use natural reasoning to manipulate the scriptures to support his self-seeking actions and avoid examining himself in the light of the truths that are within it. If we are not willing to confront the hold our proprium has on our identity, then we will remain bound to it. We will be at the mercy of its machinations. And as the proprium is nothing but evil, we will remain subject to the influences of the hell. Divine revelation is not given to give us knowledge about others. It's given so that we can know what is in us and how it can be dealt with. The proprium cannot but want to be exalted above others. The love of self, the heavenly doctrines teach us, is the love of domination, of being on top. And this love will, given the opportunity, work to even falsify the word to put itself in a better light. The word must be approached as the Lord, for it is the one thing that can set us free, for it is the divine truth. And as the Lord of that truth says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen.